This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there's the thought that Liam Cohen, who helped resuscitate Baker Mayfield's career, is going to do the exact same thing for Trevor Lawrence, help get him finally on some sort of accurate track. There is the chance that Cam Ward ends up in Tennessee. Probably the only guy I would say has a real shot to be a franchise passer in this year's draft. So what did I just name there? 7?
So here's another one that
I forgot Bo Nix too. Also a playoff quarterback in his rookie year.
This one is borderline, but still you got to think of where Rodgers is, you know, age-wise.
Okay.
Not even the Raiders have a complete pushover quarterback now. They got Geno Smith.
You're right.
So like
NFC West has like a competitive player at the position, the entire division. So that's one whole division. That's two of the other three teams in the Steelers. That's 6. Josh Allen makes 7. He's one of the alpha dogs. CJ, you don't even get to Stroud. And this is not to say because I think
you say Drake May.
No, I didn't even say him. And he's probably the guy I'm the most bullish on of that rookie crop. Yeah, I forgot him. Good job, Chris. So, I mean, you start to take stock of this. They'll have old buddy Justin Fields, too, with the Jets. I think he's proven he can win some games, at least for the Steelers he could. I'm not going to pretend that all, what did I name, 8 guys, 9 guys, I'm not going to pretend every one of them is going to be great. The difference here is, though, Don, and everybody out there, most of those guys have been good enough for long enough where you can, barring injury, assume that they will be very good. I think you can put Mahomes, you can put Jackson, Burrow, Allen. I don't think like Herbert necessarily deserves this level of credit. I also don't think he deserves to get slagged. You can put him in there. That's at least 5. Probably Stroud too. That's 6. You've got real track records here. You're not just asking like guys to make a big leap to make this a rugged conference. And so when you say like, yeah, he's positioning them to get to the playoffs and then to win, that means walking through somebody pretty damn good, chances are. And probably on the road, because you're going to win your own division? As long as the Ravens are there and Jackson looks like he does, I think it's going to be a tall order. Oh, and by the way, they have a pretty hard schedule, do the Steelers. On paper, at least. I understand, I think, the temptation to look at Rodgers' best, then to say that he was with the Jets, a joke of a franchise. I know we complain about the Steelers and how stubborn they are, and how obstinate they are. I guess that's kind of the same word twice, whatever. Obstinance Hour coming up at 10 o'clock tonight on Donnie's show. Not Abstinence Hour, though. That's different. And we look at the Steelers and we get frustrated. I acknowledge readily the Jets are way worse and way more dysfunctional. But Aaron Rodgers, the player that he is now, is he a force multiplier? Not really. I think he's a guy that if the situation... There are two kinds of quarterbacks that I think can win in the NFL. I think you have the ultimate force multipliers at the position. I named a bunch of them. I think the majority of them are in the AFC. I actually think Stafford is more the true guy like that in the NFC. I don't know if Jalen Hurts is. I think he's like a weird combination of has some really high-level skills and is also in the best situation of anybody. So you either have the force multiplier quarterbacks or you have the guys who can also succeed because everything around them is in the right position, is structured just so. The coaching, the roster, etc. Jordan Love sort of exists in the bubble between them. Hurts does too. Hurts obviously had huge success, so I get it. It can work at the highest level. Jared Goff is a situational dependent guy. If he's indoors, if he's in that offense, he's going to sling it. He's going to be very tough to stop. If you had to put Rodgers in one of those two buckets moving forward, you'd absolutely put him in the right situation he can still be productive camp. That's the one he'd fall into. He's no longer a force multiplier. I think if he had his mobility, he still could be. But like anybody that's in their late 30s to early 40s, or that's, I guess, now in their early 40s, you might remember what you were like at 37 and say, that feels like an eon ago, but that ain't me anymore. His arm's still lively. I think the mental side of the game is still very strong there. I do think that he sees and processes things at an exceptionally high level. I think that he is somebody that you can trust to generally make the right decision. He's not going to put the ball at risk because he got fooled very often. But the secret sauce for him was the ability to do all of the things we're talking about him doing outside the pocket, off of structure. Aaron Rodgers was good to very good because the arm was great and because the mind was great. Aaron Rodgers became exceptional because when he got out on the move, you didn't know if he would decide he was going to run for 12 yards and hurt you that way or deliver like a rifle shot 30 yards down the field and make a throw that essentially nobody else in the NFL can make. He still probably has the best highlight reel of top 10 throws of any quarterback of the last 25 years. Unless you want to, like, if you want to put Favre in there, maybe, for just raw arm strength and precision. He made a throw against the Cowboys that I think about like every time we come up with what are the best throws you've ever seen, rolling the wrong way, throwing semi-cross-bodied to a window that was the size of a loaf of bread and putting the ball exactly where it needed to be. He was capable of absurdity. He was. But that happened on the run. It doesn't happen like that anymore. He gets the pocket collapsing in on him. It's a sack, Don. Do you buy the Florio thing, though, that I do not buy, this idea that get Aaron Rodgers and start getting happy because he's a difference maker? Because that's essentially the argument.
I can buy the point that he's the best they've had since Big Ben, but I mean, what kind of bar is that setting?
Well, you're saying that if he's that, he's better than Mason Rudolph those last three games. Which, do you want to know the sad part? They haven't had anyone play three games in succession better than Rudolph played.
Yeah, like, that sample size is just so small, but I mean, I get what you're saying.
That, I mean, also accounting for the fact that one of those games was played in a monsoon and they deliberately did not ask him to do much, and then when they did, he actually did hit the one throw he had to hit. But they haven't had somebody. I could go look at his passer rating. I think it was like 118 or something for those three games. But that's the bar you're putting at. Can he be better than what you think Mason Rudolph would have leveled out to be if he had played a whole season? Yes, I think that's
true. Yeah, that's where I'm saying
but where does
that
slot
would
you?
Be.
Where does that slot you in the NFL hierarchy?
Well, that's a huge question with all of this. Like, how much better does this truly make them? Because I feel like it puts their floor at the usual 9-8, and it puts their ceiling at, I don't know, maybe 11-6. But then that doesn't guarantee you a playoff win. They could very well go into the playoffs and still lose. It could be a home game and they could still lose. It's not like Aaron Rodgers has been a phenomenal playoff quarterback in the last couple of tries. I'm not saying he never has been, and I'm not saying that his defense hasn't failed him in other attempts, but you think of at least recent playoff games with Aaron Rodgers, he hasn't been...
No, he's actually
an untouchable quarterback.
Well, no, the problem with him in recent playoff games is that, like, that other thing that made him so great for so long, like a willingness to make every throw. I mean, what he did to the Steelers in the Super Bowl was just dumbfounding. Stop watching TV, Donnie. Both like watching FS1 right now cover this exact same story, wondering, like trying to read lips to figure out what they're saying. The thing that made him so special in the playoffs, he lost. Or he like willfully kind of tamped down, which was a willingness to take risks. I think he's only as good as his willingness to take risks and his mobility. Yes, the arm is still there, but it's a big part, but it's only one part of a larger version of the player that used to be an MVP, but I think will never come close to regaining that form. PM team, make sure you follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Reminder, Donnie follows me playing a little doubleheader on Ernie Banks, if you will. He'll be talking some Steelers, I'm sure, but he's also, I know, getting you ready for Pirates baseball. Last spring training game was today. They will kick things off. I'm sorry, they'll have the first pitch of the 2025 season. They'll drop the puck on the 2025 season Thursday against the Marlins in Miami. Home opener, of course, right here on The Fan, April 4th against the Yankees. Makes me think of the movie Tommy Boy for some reason that many of you can probably guess. 412-928-9370 is the phone number. Mike Florio, I would not say Mike, a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers off the field, but when I preface it that way, a guy like Mike saying he thinks Steelers fans should be excited for Aaron Rodgers because he's the kind of player who can turn them into a playoff winner again for the first time since 2016. I take notice when I hear things like that. I don't agree with it, but Mike saying embrace Aaron Rodgers, this guy can still play. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. One of our elite stable of PM team callers is Vincent in Columbus. If they were the four horsemen, he'd be Arn Anderson potentially. I don't even know if Vincent watches pro wrestling or old pro wrestling, so might be lost.
I watch plenty of pro wrestling. See, I watch plenty.
Delivering spine busters left and right.
You know, literally. I'd rather be talking about WrestleMania right now with you guys, but with Aaron Rodgers, I agree. I'm not really warmed up to the idea. I'm normally optimistic, but I just think it's going to be more of the same, like what happened with Russell Wilson last year. He's going to get hot during the middle of the season, and then by the end of it, it's going to just tail off. So I don't think we're going to win another playoff game with him. So
I think that there's a very good chance. I think there's a very good chance, Vincent, thanks, that you get like an incredibly similar season. This is kind of the weird, I will not call it genius, because I think that most realistic fans understand that there is virtue in a 5-12 season. The weird ability of Mike Tomlin is, Donnie, don't you quickly get, like, I'll just bring this up fast. Don't you get the sense Tomlin could go 9-8 and lose a playoff game with Rudolph just as easily as he could do it with Rodgers?
Yes.
It's like just plugging widgets into this machine that churns out slight winning seasons, and then you go into the playoffs like a dead man walking. I dead seriously would tell you right now that the Steelers' best chance of winning a playoff game in any given year with things going the way they are right now has nothing to do with them and everything to do with whether the team they're playing has an injured starting quarterback. Like, if they saw a Matt McGloin Raiders team from many years ago in the first round, okay. Other than that, it's like almost, it doesn't matter what they're doing. I feel like they go into the playoffs, regardless of who their quarterback is, as the same entity every year. John is on 93.7 The Fan. Hi, John.
Hey, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
So, listen, Florio said we should be excited about this. And, you know, I think if this was a possibility 5-6 years ago for this to happen, I would be super excited. It'd be a big splash bring in for the Steelers. But, you know, when you start to, if you look at it in a vacuum and you see Rodgers on the back of the jersey, you think, oh, that's exciting. But, you know, you start peeling away the layers and you think about his age. You think about his lack of mobility. You think about the price point for this, our lack of an offensive scheme. You have two big personalities with big Mikey T and big Aaron Rodgers.
I think Arthur Smith is a pretty big personality too, to be honest.
So there you go. Now you have three in the mix.
Yep.
That's a lot going on. And I don't think that our whole team as a whole, I don't think we're one QB away from, you know, making a huge playoff run or let alone the Super Bowl. So I think it's huge risk with very, very little reward.
I mean, I just think that it avoids doing what a lot of people feel like they should do, which is just, hey, you're going to have to suffer through a down season, but it gets you the best shot at a quarterback. You can build up the roster around said new quarterback and go on from there. The juice is not worth the squeeze here. John said a lot of things that I think you've probably heard on this station. He wouldn't be available if it was a couple of years ago's Aaron Rodgers because people would be clamoring for him to still be part of their organization. You don't have access to the MVP version of Aaron Rodgers if you're the Steelers because no way in hell the Jets are giving him up. If he had gone to New York and balled out for 2 years, not only would New York probably have made a deep run in the playoffs, they'd still presumably want to do business with him. That's the whole point. He got injured and lost an entire year, and then when he came back finally, I think the nicest thing you could say is he finished up strong for a team that was going nowhere. Ray is on 93.7 The Fan. Hi, Ray.
Good evening. I got the answer to the Aaron Rodgers dilemma.
Okay.
They know, the Rooneys know, Tomlin knows. He got his answer when he came in town last week. But what everybody's forgetting is Pat McAfee's got a show coming up in a couple weeks, April 9th, I believe. Guess who's going to make an announcement on the Big Night Out show? His buddy, Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee it. Because if it was a no, it would have been leaked out that he's not coming.
No, I'll argue that point, Ray, and just say this. No one ever seems to leak. This is like, Rodgers should be in charge of like security at a bank, at like Fort Knox, because no one ever leaks anything that's actually like credible with him. He does keep like iron seals on everything that goes on in terms of a decision he's going to make. Having said that, I think it's more and more plausible that Ray's actual theory here is accurate, because it would absolutely scratch the itch that Rodgers has to be the center of attention while pretending he's actually not the center of attention. Oh, I'm just me, little old Aaron Rodgers. I do all my fun retreats. Yeah, I'm on this hugely popular show watched by whatever, millions of people. They pay me a ton of money to do this. Yeah, that guy's from Pittsburgh too. He's doing a live show in Pittsburgh. I think I'll just go announce that I'm going to be the Steelers quarterback like a conquering hero. I see Kabali poo-pooing that, by the way, behind the scenes. Like, he did one of his, like, tweets that's actually a column, and so you just got to scroll forever. And I saw him saying there's a better chance of me going to pick him up from the airport to drive him to said appearance or something than there is him actually doing that. The more people start to say it's not happening that way, the more I think it absolutely will. Like, I do not, Donnie, I don't know if you do, I do not discount that at all when we're considering the people involved here.
I put it at a low percentage, but I'm not ruling it out completely.
If I had it at a 1% chance, as in there's always a chance just about anything can happen, I'm up to like a 15 to 20% chance now at least. I'm not kidding, man. Because we know he's in no rush to make a decision, first and foremost, right? And then the other thing would be, it would be the ultimate in theatricality and showmanship and everything else from him. It would be Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, it'd be like him descending from the rafters if we're going to use our 18th pro wrestling reference of the day. He's sitting up there like Sting with face paint on, and it's black and gold. He's got hypocycloids on each cheek. For some reason, he has a baseball bat, even though no one really knows why. Maybe it's all a mask, and then he takes it off to reveal the same thing. Now we're going way down a rabbit hole. This is what happens when Pony is away. Donnie and I just go completely wild. It's almost that time, by the way, for us to feed the need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank on March 25th. That's tomorrow. Our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon will be raising money to provide meals for our neighbors in need. Text NEED to 50155, and your donation will provide meals locally. That's brought to you by Isley's, Beano's, and Greater Pittsburgh Auto Dealers. All the details can be found at 937thefan.com. That brings me to the hotline right now, as a matter of fact, which is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Feed the Need is tomorrow. Presenting sponsor is Giant Eagle, and right now Giant Eagle spokesperson Jana Drexler is on the hotline to tell us a little more about this. Hi, Jana. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well. Excited that the Radiothon is coming up.
Very excited for tomorrow on this end as well. Just tell us why it's so important for Giant Eagle to be a part and be the presenting sponsor for this Feed the Need Radiothon, why that means so much to the company.
Sure. So obviously at Giant Eagle, we're in the business of food, and we take very seriously the fact that we have a very serious food insecurity problem right here in our own community. We are a Pittsburgh-based company. We live, we work here. So it's a lot of our neighbors that are facing food insecurity on a daily basis. And we feel like we have a responsibility to step up and help. And with the wonderful partners that we have at Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, the Odyssey Radio Group, we're excited to bring that to life in the form of the Radiothon tomorrow.
And Jana, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we're talking about hunger, food insecurity, it's not just something that affects a surprising number of people in the community, but also more, and this is just a bummer to say out loud, but it's more even with children, right, than it is just the population at large.
Yeah, absolutely. Childhood hunger is a compounding problem on top of food insecurity in general. Like you said, there are a lot of children in these families that they don't know where their next meal is coming from. Maybe they're going to bed hungry. We know that that's especially a problem as we come up on the summer months when kids are out of school and they don't have school meal programs to rely on. So as we kind of pass towards that, this is a really great time of year to think about how we can help each other and how we can step up to really try to make sure that our friends and our neighbors are not going hungry.
Jana Drexler, she is a spokesperson, of course, for Giant Eagle. It's the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. A couple things to know. $1 provides enough food for up to 3 meals. Last year, the food bank distributed enough food for nearly 48 million meals, and 36% of it was fresh, healthy produce. You can text NEED to 50155. We'll be doing the Radiothon across all of our Odyssey stations tomorrow from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. Jana, thanks so much. We're looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Let's get the word out and get some really great donations over to the food bank.
Absolutely. Jana Drexler, spokesperson for Giant Eagle. We'll be doing that tomorrow. We've got a big one cooked up for you tomorrow as far as guests. Donnie has been doing A-plus work on the other end of things, booking guests. You put some lines in the water and reeled in a big fish this morning, I know, Don.
I did snag a pretty good one that I'm not going to spoil.
Don't spill the tea, big dog. Don't spill the tea. This is your time to shine. 2 years ago, you delivered what many are calling the Kerry Wood against the Astros guest booking performance for Feed the Need. You and I were in here together. I think Pony was maybe tied up in customs somewhere in an airport. I don't know. I think it actually did have something to do with a flight for some reason. You just delivered a performance that the kids are still talking about today. Bechtold, Harry Callis, they still talk about the way you produce that show.
Yeah, I don't know if I can replicate that performance, but I hope to put together a pretty good.
Time for a little PM team weekend in review. Now, you guys did do TGIF without me last Friday, Don. What were you burning on the sports world? I know it had to be college hoops.
Yeah, I mean, it was the big dance. I mean, you still had the rest of the day on Friday. You had Saturday, which had very good games. Yesterday had some good ones. I just wish we had some more upsets, some more true Cinderella stories in this thing, but it was still college hoops.
I think that NIL is a net good, pretty obviously, for college basketball, but it's still having very few, if any, guardrails on it, and being the Wild West, I think, is a bad thing for this tournament specifically as far as Cinderellas go. Now, you can argue that this is a fluke and maybe next year will prove it to be one and you'll have a couple of these mid-major teams just finish the job. Certainly Robert Morris came close to pulling it off, but I saw this put out there as a thought earlier today. I think it's right on the money. Don't remember who said it, but I'll steal it. Whenever you have a system that now sets up such that the big teams can just say, hey, you got a really good player. Okay, hey, buddy, enter the portal and come over here. You will have those mid-major schools generally get phased out. They have to have a perfect day. They're not going to keep a player the next year if they're going to get outbid. And if that player really is that good, then that kind of strips their ability. And it trickles down to where the teams that are, say, where Robert Morris is in the Horizon League, maybe they're poaching from NEC schools or true low majors. because they're getting poached by higher majors who are then getting poached by the highest, which is now again the SEC, because that conference has the most money because of its football obsession and TV deal. That's why you've got Alabama. That's why you've got Auburn. Kentucky, I don't need to explain to you why they're good in basketball, but they'll always have a big budget. That's why you've got, I think, what is it, Donnie? 7 teams out of the last 16 are SEC. Florida, Kentucky, Bama, Auburn. Who am I forgetting here right off the top of my head? Ole Miss, that's 5.
Arkansas,
6. And the one, no, they're Big 12.
Tennessee,
thank you. I mean, that's nature of the beast here. And I do think this is where, you know, you get like my radical take on it. Wouldn't it just be easier if these guys were employees signed to actual employment contracts, keyword there being contracts? If you're paying them above the table and NIL money is a part of it, but like it's all tied to an actual covenant that says like for 2 years you got to be here, I think that makes it a lot easier. Have your extra year of eligibility or whatever if you want it. But if you've got to actually play somewhere for 2 full seasons, I think that makes it easier. You say like, okay, this guy might be a precocious freshman at a smaller school. Well, that second year, he can't just jump somewhere else. And then if they renew that contract, the real advantage to me is you actually have employment deals. If they renew after the second year, let's say it's like a classic Pitt player, Donnie. It's an Aaron Gray. He's been decent the first 2 years. Maybe they say like, hey, we'll give you a slight raise or whatever it is. Or like there'll be performance escalators in here. And he signs another 2-year contract. You have a 4-year senior essentially that is going to be better within your program and is going to presumably stay together in your program with other guys who would sign that second 2-year deal. And you can get some continuity. Like, I think the good of NIL is it's obviously keeping more good players in college for longer because they just see college basketball as a viable money-making thing. They don't feel like I have to jump to the league right now. You could, I'm sure, massage that situation such that it starts to benefit the smaller schools and benefit the entire collective by just having it a little bit more above board and give players basically one out. You have your school you can pick. I would always nuke all these contracts, by the way, if the coach bounces, because I don't want player freedom to be inhibited because the coach they signed to play for doesn't go there anymore. That's always like an out clause that would exist that I think would be fair. But if otherwise the coach is there for those 2 years, then you sit there, you talk, and you re-up. You know there'd be some guys who would actually drop down a level because they're not playing as much as they thought and could be coveted by lower-end schools. The flow wouldn't always go both like one way up.